This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. Can video games help solve the climate crisis? Perhaps. Getting creative about climate change may be a way to engage people. This week, a new video game for smartphones was released to honor the climate action that's happening all over the world. It's called Deal, a new green new election. According to The Daily at the University of Washington, it's like Tinder, but for saving the planet. That's because you make critical, life-changing choices by simply swiping left or right on your phone. And the characters are based on some real-life climate activists. We'll get to that in a minute. The goal of the game, according to UW atmospheric science professor Dargan Frierson, is to convince voters to pass a Green New Deal type ballot initiative. It's put out by Earth Games Group, which is also working on a bigger project. It's a strategy game where you have to eliminate carbon emissions all while building a happier, more resilient society. Dargan also heads Earth Games, is joining us now from Seattle. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So this is interesting. You're a professor of atmospheric sciences. You teach some of your classes. I'm going to rattle them off here. Global warming, science of the climate, atmospheric motions, geophysical fluid dynamics, balance dynamics, fundamentals of climate change, modeling and general circulation of the atmosphere. But you also develop video games.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So why in the world would someone do both of those things, right?
That's my question.
My research is on climate models, but sort of more simplified climate models that help us understand how the planet works. So we do things like make up we only have one Earth to observe, but in a climate model, you can make up all sorts of imaginary worlds, like by changing the rotation rate of the planet or bulldozing mountain ranges if you want to figure out what the effects of mountains are. And the claim is if you have the real physics of the Earth in there, then that can tell you something about the real world. Now, that is not that far from a video game, right? I find that I get the same joy out of that climate modeling work as I do from playing video games, especially the more exploratory ones. So that was sort of some of the initial motivation there.
How did you start? What was the process of creating your video games?
Yeah, so we started about 4 years ago. A professor at University of Washington, Josh Lawler, came to me with this idea saying, you know, I think we could make some cool interactive experiences for people to work on. And then it was sort of just a snowball from there. So many folks wanted to contribute. There are a lot of students who both love video games, want to potentially work in the industry, but also think that they can be used more for good than maybe the traditional line of commercial games, right? So then we really got kickstarted too with a game jam that we held about 3 years ago. A game jam is a event where you're given a prompt on Friday afternoon, and you have to be completely finished with the game by Sunday afternoon, with all the programming and the art and everything, right? And that event was where we made our first game, Climate Quest.
So I'm curious, you know, I understand on a sort of an intellectual level why you could make the argument that climate change and the work you do with the modeling could be applied to a video game. But on sort of a sort of visceral level, why did you think this would work?
Right. Yeah, I think there are a few aspects of video games that make them sort of a perfect medium to communicate about the climate crisis. For one thing, in a game, you can visualize things that are invisible. It's sort of a normal part of games, right? I feel like if we could see carbon pollution, then global warming wouldn't be as much of a problem, right? But in a game, you can do that. Also, in a game, you can speed up or pause time easily as well. Another aspect is you expect games to be very challenging. If you win on the first time, it's too easy, right? Mm-hmm. So taking on a massive, you know, transformation of society away from fossil fuels is something that sounds like a heroic effort appropriate for a game. And then another thing is when you do storytelling in interactive media, It's so immersive. When you actually have to move around the character in there, it feels like it's you in that situation. So I think those are all aspects of games that make them sort of perfect for communication of this issue.
All right, so you sit down, you've got this idea, you're ready to go, it's game jam. Or let's put it, it's after game jam, and you really kind of go into a beta phase of really trying to figure out, can we do this? What was something you found really worked within the development process, and then what was something that you had to toss out because it just didn't work in the game?
Yeah. With our most recent game deal, A Green New Election, so it's this decision-making game, and one of the early aspects that we wanted to include in it was kind of like a romance dating simulator type aspect, because those types of games are fun and popular. But we ended up pulling the plug on all of that. It sort of detracted a little too much from the Green New Deal aspect. There's enough interesting to communicate just with that. Game design is also really interesting because it requires a lot of different talents. You need programmers, you need artists, you need musicians. So to some extent, with our little group Earth Games, that's mostly students. We have a few professionals who contribute sometimes. We often are limited just by the skills of the people in the room and have to decide what we can make based on that and our time frames.
My guest is Professor Dargan Frierson. He's a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington and head of the Earth Games Group. We're talking about video games as a possible way to educate people and get them engaged in seeking climate change. So what is the Earth Games Group? I keep saying it like it's something everybody knows.
Yeah, so we're sort of actually a pretty loose collective of students, faculty, local game designers. We have an official class at University of Washington, so students can get course credit for making these games. We also host game jams in the community, so we're trying to get local game designers involved in the group as well.
So what was the very first game you released?
The first one was Climate Quest.
Okay.
So this was the one that we made in the game jam, and the look of it is inspired by the games that I grew up with, playing on the old Nintendo Entertainment System. You send around your characters around the United States to prepare for climate crises, basically what we call adaptation, which is building more resilient infrastructure or setting up cooling centers to prepare people for heat waves or building walls or helping people relocate to deal with sea level rise.
Now, how have people responded to the games?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's been very different than what we've expected. Climate Quest is actually used quite a bit in schools. In some ways, it's not as fun as some of our more arcade-oriented games, but there's a lot of real science behind it and reading. So I think schools have been able to pick it up for that reason. And I think the best thing about the Earth Games Group is just how much people have wanted to contribute themselves. I'm a climate scientist, and I'm able to talk to the media quite a bit, but I think we need the views of many, many more people to talk about the climate crisis. We need artists talking about this, and we're doing our little part for that. I think this, though, is a very exciting time for that with the climate strikes this week. And the tide has turned since our group has been working even.
Now, you're working on a strategy game?
Right.
What's it called?
Yeah, so it's called Flourish. We're at Earth Games very big fans of strategy type games, but also recognize the sort of problematic aspects of them as well, that they're often about war or, colonialism or wiping out other cultures and stuff like that. So we're trying to make a game about the future of the planet, but instead of the goal being kind of domination, you're trying to increase the happiness of the world in various ways that we've tried to put a lot of data in it as well, real data, so hopefully people can learn about climate solutions and inequality and world health and issues like that as well while playing.
And you worked with a meteorologist on this, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a comet scientist. So then also Eric Holthaus is a meteorologist and climate journalist who's been a major part of the game. He's a great storyteller and has thought a lot about ways to use fiction to sort of make narratives more resonant about the future of the planet.
I'm interested. I'm curious how you, as a scientist, even though it's fictional and you know it's fiction for a good cause, have there ever been some discussions about like, oh, that wouldn't really happen?
Absolutely. Yeah. We actually do try to make everything that we make based in science. So I'm often that person who's the one who's saying, we probably shouldn't put this in, folks. You know, that's too extreme. There's so much in the actual real science that's compelling if you think about it. I think there's plenty of narratives to tell. I think it's exciting to have situations where you get really creative people, writers, for instance, in the same room with scientists so they can make something together that no one could have done individually.
Do you have any favorite facts that you've been able to slide into these games that gives you joy knowing that somebody, it might seep into somebody's brain while they're playing?
Yeah, absolutely. With the Deal game, for instance, a lot of the events in that game happened while we were developing the game. For instance, just a few months ago, there was a giant refinery fire in Philadelphia. So we wrote a little story about that. They actually used hydrofluoric acid, which is one of the most deadly chemicals known to man in that refinery. And the fire was right beside it. So there was a leak of some of that chemical that wasn't reported on terribly much. I don't think many people know about that. So we put that situation in the game. Really front and center in Deal, we tried to get across the ideas of environmental justice. Mm. So that refinery is located near communities of color who've been protesting about it for decades, wanting them to have better safety regulations and better pollution controls. So that's just one example of some of those little details in there that are inspired by facts.
I just want to ask one question about kids in your classes and what you teach. Is there something that you really want to get across to your students at this particular time?
I find that the young people really understand the issues that we're facing very, very well. Like the leaders of the protest today, for instance, are, you know, 16-year-old kids who really understand the details of the climate science behind the crisis, as well as the intersectionality of all these issues with race and gender and inequality. So I really find myself learning more from them. I'm sort of just steering the ship. There's been so many interesting folks that have really just flourished in the class.
If someone wants to try out one of your games, where can they go?
Earthgames.org. All of our games are available for free, no ads or anything on the App Store and on Google Play. So you can search Earth Games on those as well.
My guest has been Dargan Frierson, Professor of Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Washington and head of the Earth Games Group. Dargan, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.